You are back with The Conversation on Hawaii Public Radio. This is Catherine Cruz. The number of government workers who put in for retirement at the end of 2020 is up. We talked to the head of the Hawaii Employees Retirement System, Thomas Williams, in the last week of December 2020. His office fielded a boost in inquiries from many state and county employees. Between the talk of furloughs and layoffs and the realities of working remotely, many have been certainly wondering if it was time to retire. Here's a conversation we had with Tom Williams.
We've been monitoring those carefully to see if, in fact, there was an increase, decrease, or continuation of the norm. And, in fact, there has been about, I say, a 15% increase over our average. We have about between 2,300 and 2,350 per year over the last 5 years. And that's gone up to about 2,650 this year. So that equates to about a 15% increase. And in fact, what we've seen in December is almost 1,000 applicants for retirements. We had close to 100 withdraw their applications, but that's a significant portion of the annual total. That's about 38% of the year's applicants occurring in December. It's not unusual. December is a common year where we get an uptick, or a common month in which we get an uptick. Same with June and July, end of academic years for the teachers, et cetera. But I think this year we see a little more interest in retirement just because of the discussion around furloughs and layoffs. But I think in particular, COVID has created some anxiety about continuing in the workplace. And for those people who are eligible to retire and they don't see any real advantage, they maybe reach their maximums, they see themselves as better off taking advantage of that opportunity to leave the workforce and begin lifetime retirement income.
Is there anything you can share just about the numbers of employees that are eligible to retire?
Yeah, you know, we are a very, very mature plan. We have about 66,000 active members. We have 12,800 that are eligible to retire. And that's about 19% of our membership. So almost 2 out of 10 of our membership could retire today because they've attained necessary years of service and age to be eligible to retire. So this only occurs in mature plans. You know, when you've been around since like 1926, for example, when we were founded. So we have the capacity for a significant outflow.
As far as the actual breakdown of, let's say, the retirees, I mean, do you have any info to say that we're seeing more teachers retire or more faculty?
You know, we will have to examine the data a bit more carefully, but historically, about 24% of our retirements are academics. That would include the Department of Education as well as the instructional staff at the University of Hawaii. We think that that's probably maintained for the present.
Do the retirees give any explanation as to why they may be making this decision to step down?
You know, it's merely anecdotal, Catherine. The reality is that we don't ask that information, but sometimes they do share. And what I've heard from staff, that it relates to COVID, but also there is an incentive to stay on for a number of employees because of the economic uncertainty across the globe and certainly in our community, as lots of spouses and significant others and family members have perhaps lost jobs due to the downturn in the economy. And it makes those who are gainfully employed more inclined to stay so.
I imagine, too, there is that bit of uncertainty about program cuts, and maybe folks just want more control over their future, you know, as to when they step away.
I think you're absolutely right there. The program cuts portend for a lot of workers more work, furloughs, less pay, and that's not particularly enticing for most. And I think the attrition that's being eyed is one source of savings for the state. And by that, I mean when the state decides, for example, not to replace certain retiree positions. And I believe that that's one aspect that's being considered for budgeting purposes. That, too, would result in the work being distributed amongst a smaller number of individuals. And that may very well serve to incentivize people to head out a little earlier than they otherwise might have.
And there has been lots of attention to unfunded liabilities. And I know with this budget crunch and our shortfall that we're facing, you know, the governor, I think, is probably going to have to pull back on what he would like to see put into this fund.
Fortunately, the governor has shown a strong commitment for continuing contributions to the retirement fund. I believe there's been a suspension of advance payments to the health care fund, but so far no real suspension of payments to the IRS. He's going to keep us on track. However, at the same time, to the extent that there are furloughs and less salary paid, we get lesser contributions. And a significant portion of every dollar we get goes to defray our unfunded liability. And so when we get a little less money, if it's 10% or 9% less than we otherwise would have received, it extends the period to a full funding. And it costs us a little bit more. But again, I want to emphasize that so far the governor has indicated a strong support for continuing the contributions to the retirement plan. It has implications not only for our funding status, but the state's creditworthiness and the like. It's a significant consideration for the rating agencies.
Recently, our partners at Honolulu Civil Beat did a story about some of the overtime issues that have surfaced over at the Honolulu Police Department. You know, when you have employees that would be making normally $70,000, $75,000 and then all of a sudden banking thousands in overtime. I mean, what does that mean for your planning?
Well, it means a significant increase in the unfunded liability, and it means that we have to try to recoup that to the extent possible through charges to the employers. There's a so-called spiking charge that we are able to recover a portion of the unfunded liability or the deficits that are created by those increases in pay, but it's insufficient to make us whole, quite frankly. So on an annual basis, we're billing the employers, the state, the city and counties, for those pension spiking costs. And they are going to increase because the rate of overtime has increased dramatically during this COVID period. And it already equals millions of dollars per year. So states are not going to be, or counties are not going to be in a position to continue to absorb expenses at that level. So I think what we're going to see is a big effort on behalf of the agencies to constrain overtime.
And explain to our listeners, because folks may not understand how that spiking works.
Yeah, well, what we do is we look at a career of employment, and we try to see and assure ourselves that the kind of increases that have occurred over the lifetime or career of those workers, that they're average, that they're normal. And sometimes when we see in, for example, the last several years of one's employment, their salaries increased dramatically. And it wasn't due to a promotion or a position change, but it was just an increase in overtime. We have a test that we apply, and it will reveal when those benefits or those salaries are excessive relative to the historical averages. And we calculate the cost of that additional benefit, and we pass that on to the employer. But it's never 100% because there is a certain amount of increase that goes through that is not captured by the spiking formula. So it's only these excessive cases that really hit the radar, if you will.
And I know we've had a conversation about this before, but since we're talking about the police department and the issue of the police chief's retirement, we don't have any rules about felony forfeiture when it comes to retirement, you know, if there's a judgment levied against an employee, right?
You're absolutely right. There is no felony forfeiture statute in effect at present. Every year or two, there is a bill introduced, generally by others, who would impose that forfeiture, but to date it hasn't advanced through the legislature.
Okay, so no chance to be able to do anything about that at this point.
That's absolutely right.
Anything else you think would be important to underscore just as we look ahead and deal with these retirements?
Well, you know, we're going to be monitoring everything very, very carefully. And it just highlights for me the importance of, you know, strict adherence to discipline and making the contributions. And it also reminds me and others of just how an important role the pension plan plays in the economic recovery, because I think you're aware that we last year injected into the state's economy about $1.5 billion, and we do that in good times and in bad, and I think that that's a significant support, a baseline for the state to begin its recovery from COVID and the downturn in tourism.
Okay. And then what about your staff? I don't know how impacted you are, you know, with the shutdown, or are you fully staffed?
You know, I am very, very pleased to say that from a healthcare perspective, We've had no internal and immediate effects from COVID. Most of us have been safe, and we've taken extraordinary measures internal to adjust for social distancing, the hand washing, everything, you name it. We've got thermal scanners in place so that people come in, they get their temperatures taken, et cetera. Staff is working very, very hard as a result of significantly increased interest in retirement. So even those who haven't pulled the trigger yet are calling to find out, you know, what's it mean to me? What am I eligible for? What if, you know, various scenarios. So the staff is working very, very hard. You know, there is a hiring freeze. We have a couple of positions that are deemed critical that we were allowed to hire by the governor, but that still leaves, I think, about an 8% reduction in our staff that we're not able to fill because of the hiring freeze. But fortunately, people are inspired, they're working hard, and we're staying on top of things as we speak.
Even as the workload increases.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate your time.
Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. And all the best during the holidays and beyond.
That was Thomas Williams, Executive Director of the Employees Retirement System, talking about the increase of retirements and the impact of spiking with the recent stories about the padding of overtime by HPD.